I'm done with this mentality that the only way to get with God, aka not burn in hell, you know, is to go through this gate, and that is the only avenue. And then I have to live in this environment that ends up becoming stifling or stunting. Bottom line, it's not fulfilling. It's not, even to the point where it's like, it's boring or not fun. It's things people are doing grudgingly, you know, either out of guilt primarily, or because this is just kind of what we do.
Welcome back to the Rheology Podcast. Rheology is a nonprofit ministry that is centered around rethinking, researching, and rediscovery, a process that dives deep into the depths of an intimate partnership with God through a concept Jesus initiated called ecclesia. We strive to cultivate an environment that is not only safe to question and seek, but also one that is founded on the truths of partnership, words of hope that were uttered from the lips of Jesus himself. So in this podcast, we'll question Christian tradition, we'll investigate God myths, and we'll listen to those who are stirring, questioning, and desperately seeking more of what God is doing in and around us each day.
Hey, everybody, this is Scott Johnson here with the Rheology Podcast, and Tyler, Chris, and myself are recording this episode live via satellite from three different positions in and around Charlotte, North Carolina. And Brandon, of course, the producer, the guy behind the curtain, is ever present in Greenfield, Indiana. We're actually, weirdly enough, we're going to talk about Brandon today. We did an interview with him just recently, and we wanted to kind of get together and talk about some of the things that we heard him talk about, and quite honestly, how those things like match up with a lot of people's stirring stories, and, you know, probably some things that we also kind of resonated with ourselves. And so we are doing these stirring interviews, stirring stories, as a way to show that there are lots of people out there who feel the same way and going through the same kind of situation of trying to, you know, navigate the waters of stirring and questioning and learning and relearning. And so since Brandon's interview, we had, you know, quite a few little note things that we jotted down, and we wanted to kind of revisit together, the three of us. And so that's what we're going to do today. So if you haven't seen that interview, you might want to go watch the interview or listen to the interview first, and then, you know, come back here and see what we had to say about it. All bad things, all horribly, horribly negative things, the things that he revealed. I can't believe he did it. Pretty amazing. So anyway, you know, when we chatted with Brandon, there were a few things that, well, first of all, hey guys, sorry.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. Man. I miss you guys over here. It's just not right. Something's not right.
I don't know. Scott was ready to just go jump right into it as if we weren't even here. That's what I was hearing.
Well, you're not. I mean, I'm like,
that's true.
I got to look down, and you're on a,
yeah,
can't experience Chris and, you know, the full deal that I typically get to.
It's the, like, aura. Yeah.
Haunting me this morning. Anyway. So, one of the things that I thought it was interesting that Brandon mentioned, that I bring up to you guys, that I can't help to believe that this is, probably a foundation, right? Because let's put it this way: when someone has an epiphany or an awakening moment or whatever we want to call that, we kind of call it stirring, right? But in life, it's like when you have this moment where you have an epiphany, there has to be a pre-epiphany and a post-epiphany, right? So there's always a pre. Something was going along where that your thinking was one way, the epiphany comes, or that event comes, and then it changes the way you think, and then you go and think a different way. And so the one thing I kind of wanted to bring up, I felt like was probably important as a foundational thing to discuss, that Brandon actually said, was he said that he was just doing this. I want to quote him here. He said, "I was just doing what I'm supposed to be doing, what I was supposed to be doing." Right. I'm just doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I really feel like that is like the main foundational pre-stirring position that that every Christian or churchgoer or religious affiliated person probably experience before the stirring really kind of gets going. And it's that mentality that, you know, this is just what I've been told I'm supposed to do, and I'm doing it. You know, he's talking about, like, you know, going to church. I was going to church. I was raised in church. Matter of fact, he said that his whole family, his whole extended family, you know, all went to church. Everybody he kind of knew is, you know, that grew up around his extended family, they all went to church and all were Christians and stuff. But it was interesting too. He just said, it's not like we kind of, you know, talked about it all the time, but we did. It was there, you know, it was like, it was that thing that we're all supposed to do, praying here and there, reading the Bible here and there, those kinds of things. And, you know, kind of living that life. So I thought it was important that, you know, we kind of, first of all, in this conversation, like, set the stage that is like the beginning point for, I'm going to step on a limb here. I would say that's like everybody. Would you guys like pretty much agree with that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, I would say my stirring story was not probably as much that, because I was in full-time ministry. And so, I was doing ministry, but I think it was probably a view of like the rest of church and all that kind of stuff. I was probably in that position, like, this is church. And, you know, I used to have that mentality going into church planting of doing church differently. I really did. So that would probably be, you know, along the same kinds of lines.
But even for like me, who also, right, I felt like me just doing what I'm supposed to be doing led me to do ministry that way as well. Right. It was just a bunch of like, you're supposed to, like, it's either you go into full-time ministry or you just keep doing the things. And the ones who really, really want to do it well go into full-time ministry. Right. So I think even with that mentality of like, Christianity is this like this moral, like, I don't know, moral standard I'm supposed to uphold. But the next step is like to, tell other people to also keep this moral standard. Right. And I think, you know what I'm saying? So even though I feel like you, Scott, are different because we were raised Christian, like Scott or like Tyler and I, we were raised Christians. So we was like, we just did the Christian thing. But even like the pre-epiphany is like, oh, that's all there is to do. I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel
yeah,
that.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I didn't have the history that you guys had, you know, I mean, basically you two guys grew up with pastors as dads. I mean, you did. So, you know, it was definitely, I could see how for me, it was a little different because I knew that those things were true. Christians prayed, Christians read the Bible, Christians went to church. I get that. But also I was involved in youth ministry, and I also knew that it was more than that. But I just didn't know probably how much more. I definitely didn't know how much more it was. But I just thought that since I'm just, you know, we've got these other stirring, you know, interviews going on, we're going to do, and I can't help but think that this is going to be a reoccurring thing here. You know, sure. It almost has to be, you know. So what were your guys' thoughts, just your quick takeaways from what you heard and learned from Brandon?
Ooh, Brandon is so lost. He has no idea what he's doing.
Just probably. And just good thing he's listening to this podcast, you know.
I think he found us, you know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts, I mean, it's exactly what you said already, Scott. I think it's just, it's, there seems to be a similar pattern in all these stirring stories that we are going to keep seeing. And like, so I don't, I think, right, there's no one to blame, but there's like everyone to blame at the same, yeah, at the same time. It's like the whole system. It's right. If you're, I think this is why Jesus really modeled, it's not a prescription, but a principle of like having a relationship with the disciples to show them how the kingdom of God is different and how the implications of the kingdom of God in our life. And I don't think you can get the full message by just hearing a lecture once a week, right? Or the exegesis of a story of scripture. You can get lots, you get a broad idea, but it really takes this, this relationship and like exploring. And finally, like Brandon was in the space to like ask deeper questions. And it wasn't about just memorizing stories either, which a lot of times I think Christianity is framed in a way of like, I just have to know the stories, and that's part of the Christian walk. But I mean, that's why I think in Acts 2, right, it talks about the early church was, it was the teaching of the apostles. And it, so when we hear that, it's not, oh, the apostles were doing more sermons or preaching. Now, I think the apostles were just sitting down with people like, hey, listen, this is what I learned from Jesus, right? You've heard this, but Jesus said it this way, right? And Jesus is like, God is who this is. And so I think they were changing the minds of who God was through the teaching of the apostles. And it wasn't just sermons that people were like attending as teachings of the apostles. So I think once people are able to be in a space to really ask questions and say like, hey, what is this actually about? And if it is, because it has to be more than this, like, yeah, just memorizing, just knowing for the sake of knowing.
I wanted to say this to you along with what you just said, Chris, that, you know, I heard Brandon say, and this goes along with what I just said about, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, right? And you guys have dealt with this a lot. I've heard you guys talk about this a lot with your students about being a good Christian versus being a bad Christian. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in order to really, you know, be able to decipher between doing it the right way and doing it the wrong way, you have to have, that requires an understanding of what is then required. Right. You have to have that base of understanding what's required of you so that you can recognize whether you're doing it right or whether you're doing it wrong, or whether you're being a good Christian or being a bad Christian. You have to have, like you said, a standard, right? Some sort of something in that's kind of marking the way that you're supposed to go or whatever. And I would say that since we're just saying that the standard for Brandon and for a lot of people is really just basically like, well, I am in a Christian family for crying out loud, and we do go to church. I was raised doing this. You know, we may even go to Sunday school, you know, every week. We may, you know, I've got my own Bible. I was baptized at some point. You know, maybe my dad baptized me. I got a Bible for my baptism. You know, we pray before meals, maybe. So it's like, that's the standard that's put in front of us, from, you know, our generational, leadership, you know, for a long, long time, that this is the way to be a good Christian, right? Or this is the right way. And, you know, that really kind of sets the tone and the page for a lot of things. And especially if you start to go, I don't really like this, you know, if you think of it that way, it's like, I don't really like this, then I guess I don't like God, because this is what God has told us to do, because that's what I've been taught. Mm-hmm. Tyler, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, let me just go off that really fast, because with most standards in life, we can never always hit them. especially when it comes to that Christian standard, because we're always going to be just like humans and figure out a way to reason why like we didn't go to church that Sunday, or I didn't bring my Bible to this thing, or whatever it is, right? So that standard, we're already like setting ourselves up for failure if that's the standard. If the standard is to be a good Christian and I have all these do's and don'ts, then like I'm ultimately going to fail the test. And we have this conversation all the time. And I think that's part of the people that are stirring now, is they've been living by this standard for maybe their whole life. And they're getting to this point where they had a little piece of information that made its way into their brain or to their heart that's kind of disrupting that standard. The idea that I have to keep up the game. And I think there's a season of life, this is for me, where I was keeping up the standard as best as I could, but I also held this new piece of information along with it. And you can't do both at the same time for forever. There's going to be a moment where you have to make a decision where like, okay, I'm going to continue to try to meet the standard, or I'm going to admit that maybe what I've been doing, there's just something off. And it could just be a little piece of it, or I think that the whole building is about to collapse. And I think that's kind of what Brandon was saying as well. He was playing the game. He was doing what he needed to do his whole life. But then he came across this video, you know, and he's like, okay, maybe there's something to this. But you can't, yeah, like I said, you can't go after two things at the same time. Mm-hmm. For an extended amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize he said something, and we're going to talk about this in the next episode that we record, so I won't go too crazy with it here, but he talked about stunted growth. Mm-hmm. I won't get into that. We will save it for the next time. But that is the idea that no matter what, if you said this is the standard, and maybe it's a standard that's like a little you know, it's not really reasonable. It's not really a very reasonable standard, or it's like you said, it's not one that you can live up to. You have to be at church every week. You can't go on vacation. You can't go hang out with friends. You can't go to the ball game. You can't sleep in because you're out late. You know, it's very hard to live up to that. Or whether it's the other part where it's like, hey, another standard is like your whole Christian life and experience is found in this group, in this Sunday, you know, organization here. This right. This is your family. This is your new family, you know, and everything is found here. And then when you, so either way, whether you go, I can't live up to this standard of like being here all the time and being made feel guilty, or if the other side of that is true, where everything is found in here, I'm not finding any of that in here. And I love God. I believe in God, but I'm not jiving with this.
Mm-hmm. Chris. I think there's also kind of, well, I think you said it in the interview, but sometimes also the standard is so low, yeah, right? That I think this is maybe what I wish Brandon was listening, or he get in there. Anyways, he is listening. But like, I think the thing with Brandon is he's so analytical, and I think he's a lawyer now, so he's pretty smart. I think it was like, oh, this is it. Okay, I guess that's it then. Like, it wasn't until like I think he saw this possibility of another, it's of it being more than just this like this fundamental view of, honestly, what I'm learning is how most time people just see Christianity as, I heard this from the Bible Project, right? I'm still wrestling with it, but as this like password moment for afterlife, right? Mm-hmm. I want to get into heaven. I don't want to go to hell. So what gets me to heaven? Well, I have to know the right things, right? So everything is all about knowing the right things so I can say the secret password to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just like knowing stories or going to church, right? The password event is like, I went to enough Sunday services, or I know enough stories in the Bible. It doesn't matter what they're actually about. Kind of what Brandon was saying when he was doing studying, he's like, oh my gosh, I missed all these patterns. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I missed the patterns too, because like we weren't taught to read it that way. Like it wasn't anyone's mm-hmm. fault. It's just like the way we were taught to understand them was almost like, here's a story. Now you better not turn away from God. Otherwise he's going to send a giant whale and swallow you up. Right. And I'm now applying myself as Jonah. And I don't think that is the point of Jonah. Right. And that's not the point of scripture. That's the point of Jesus, was to like, make sure we have this password moment. But man, so many people's whole framework of Christianity is about, do I know enough? Have I done enough to get to heaven? Yeah. And no one is explicitly saying that, but no one is like doing something different about it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's everything. You know, I just did a, I just did that stirring intro for this whole deal. And I said that, because that to me is like one of the most important pieces. So we're going to release, it's already going to be released by the time this comes out, but we're going to redo the whole Duns episode thing that I did, you know, a couple of years ago. And the reality is like the word and the idea of Duns is less about people who are done going to church. They're actually more about the idea that they're done believing that church is the gateway, like mm-hmm. you're saying, right? Is like going to church is the password, and living in that environment, knowing all the right, you know, all the right things, or remembering the stories, or, you know, it's and not really knowing why we do what, you know, grandpa, where'd Sunday school come from? I don't know, but make sure you go. It's that mentality, right? Of like, nobody really knows, but the qualified people don't even know. The pastors who went to seminary, for crying out loud, they don't even know. Yeah. Shoot the professors at seminary. they probably don't even know. And it's like, it's like really, that's the done idea. The done idea is like, I'm done with this mentality that the only way to get with God, AKA not burn in hell, you know, is to go through this gate. And that is the only avenue. And then I have to live in this environment that ends up becoming stifling or stunting. Mm-hmm. And also, like you said, Chris, too, it's like, it's not only those things. It's like, bottom line, it's not fulfilling. It's not, even to the point where it's like, it's boring or not fun. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. things people are doing grudgingly, you know, either out of guilt primarily, or because this is just kind of what we do. And, you know, it's like, don't ask questions. This is just the way it is. And I think it is interesting about Brandon. Brandon is an analytical thinker, you know, it's interesting that God kind of, you know, kind of like got to him via the avenue of, you know, analytics, right? And an intellectual, you know, question really of like, wait a minute, you know, I'm listening to this, and we're not supposed to literally believe that God created the day, that the heavens and the earth and everything in 7 days. We're not, I mean, whoa, you know, I mean, for him to continue to listening to that specific episode and then, you know, start to dig even deeper. I mean, that's, to me, that really resonated with me, because that was like my moment. I've told you guys, with my buddy Derek Willoughby asking me, you know, at the age of whatever he was, 12, you know, would you go to heaven or hell? Even though theologically he was way off, it didn't matter. God used him to get to me via an intellectual avenue, mm-hmm. knowing that I, at 15 years old, I thought of those things. You know, I was an analytical kid. So I thought that was interesting too, that, you know, he really didn't probably have a, you know, a typical there's got to be more than what I'm doing. He actually probably more than anything kind of just distanced himself from, you know what, it's church, it's religion, so be it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to get, mm-hmm. I'm not going to engage, you know, I'm not going to engage in it. But instead, you know, God, you know, threw a video to him that he knew would engage him. You know, the church was not engaging. Religion was not engaging. You know, modern American Christianity was not engaging to Brandon, but, his analytical critical thinking was. And so I thought that was kind of fun little fun fact to, you know, hear about. But
well, let me bounce off that, because yep. The main thing that stuck out to me when we talked to him was he basically said questioning equaled heresy. And for at least like all the analytical people, if you're not able to question, then are you actually able to understand what you're getting and what you're learning? And I think a lot of people grow up in church and in Christianity in this environment where, like, yeah, questioning, you mean you're doubting God, right? So questions actually means it's not your questioning is not like, oh, you actually want to know more about what you believe in. It actually is saying you are lacking something spiritually. And so we need to help you not ask better questions, but just here's more information. Here's another list of things to do and not to do. Thankfully, for whatever reason, like Brandon was able to see through that, right? And is that now on the other side of like, oh, questioning is actually maybe from the spirit itself, right? And not this kind of like demonized way of thinking.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people, yeah, I mean, this is my story too. Like I just relied on the knowledge that I was being fed for my relationship with God. I was never given the opportunity to question, but it wasn't until I was in an environment where I felt safe with people that I trusted that I could start asking questions that maybe I had had my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But now finally I was in this environment where I say, okay, I've been thinking about this for however long. Just what do you think about this? And another thing is, for me at least, and maybe for Brandon, maybe for you guys, like questioning in the beginning feels very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very counterproductive. It feels like, oh, God is going to get angry at me for asking, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is. But I think for people that are stirring, we have to say like, no, the questioning is like, that's the road that you need to be on. Like ask the hard questions, ask the questions that you've never felt you were allowed to ask before.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we really believe that if you really want to know God, you will actually find him and he will reveal himself to you through those questions, whether you're asking the right questions or not, that's not important, but being able to be honest with yourself and what you're feeling and what you're thinking, like God will meet you. He's already in that place. He just wants you to be honest with yourself and be honest with him. Like that is the best place to be in.
Yeah,
it's actually really sad to think how damaging this is to people, because what we're teaching people is not to ask questions, but say faith is accepting things even though you don't believe it. So we're actually
blind faith.
It's like you need to increase your faith. What does that mean? It means like just take it at face value and no more. And a good Christian, God will really work in you if you can just say, because it says so is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And then we're actually, and I think this is why a lot of fundamental people in their religion, whatever religion it is, they struggle to be in the real world because they're actually not learners, because they just believe things on like faith and they're not actually critically approaching things and asking like, but why is that? Where is this coming from? In what context, right? But bro, that is what the disciples did. They were always asking questions. Jesus was always asking them. Jesus was teaching people how to ask questions well. And what mm-hmm. a lot of times the church of Christianity does is actually squash that part of our brain and just say what good faith is just believing what is written in the Bible. And that's crazy. That's just like fundamentally like unhealthy for a person.
Yeah, you actually said in the interview, Chris, that when you do start, I took note on something Chris did. Check it out. You said that when you start actually questioning, you said all of a sudden people around you go, oh, shoot, he's in faith deconstruction. And in their mind, that's a bad thing. It's like he's going to stop believing in God.
Yeah.
And I think that's super wise to say, because The reality, yes, and we've talked about it a lot. I wrote about it in the book right off the bat in the preface. It's like we our society thinks that when you question something, it's a negative. And specifically mm-hmm. in the Christian society, it does typically go, "Oh shoot, he's questioning God," and it's not necessarily that you're questioning, whether you believe in God or not, or whether he's real or not. And if you did, that'd be fine too. Most of the time, it's probably just simple questioning like, "What are we doing? And how do we?" You know, why do we have a building? Why do we have insurance? Those kinds of things. But it is, to me, that is the stifling part of it that just says, yeah, I mean, there's a middle ground to get to, right? We don't want to go from one extreme to the next extreme, right? Where you have like, you don't question at all to like, now you're questioning everything and you're looking for answers to everything. So then that point, then we've put the Western lens back on, right? Where we're saying like, mm-hmm. prove it, God, prove it. Cause I mean, come on, there's mm-hmm. going to be a point where you are just going to have to go with it, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but it's because you have built up a relationship with God and you're okay with it at that point. You know, it's like,
yeah, because the answers start to mean less.
Totally.
Once you experience the relationship.
Yep. Totally. It's like, did God create the heavens and earth in 7 days? I don't know. And I really don't care. That's not even the point. Yeah. He created. Right. That's the part mm-hmm. I'm hung up on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, yeah.
He's a creator. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because when our target is not figuring it out, it's just, okay, if this God is who he says he is, and I can experience this kind of love that I hear about, I want that. If that is the target, then everything else is going to be secondary. Like literally everything else is going to be secondary. Like I think like, yes, look what you said. Did God create the world in 7 days? Who freaking cares? Right? Are women supposed to speak in the church? Who cares?
Well, right? I mean,
all these things.
Of course not. But I mean, go ahead.
Well, I think like women care about that question.
But all these things that we hold so tightly and so highly, they start to fall.
Yeah.
Right. And even those things that we've built our life around, once they start to fall down, that can be very, very scary.
Yeah.
So there's not like questioning is not this perfect formula to have this great life. Right. It's this discovery process of journeying down this road of saying, okay, if God is who he is, if God is who he says he is, I want it. And I'll ask whatever question I feel like I need to ask to get that. Mm-hmm. And I think we believe with those people that are stirring and asking those questions, not at the end of the road, but as you start to ask questions, you'll start to realize who God actually is and how present he is in you and around you.
Yeah, totally.
And that's the sweet spot. That's the whole point.
It is. It is. It's the sweet spot. It is the relationship, because either side of the relationship is institutionalism, right? It's either yeah. going with the flow into the institution, or I need to dissect the institution. Yeah. And the sweet spot is the relationship found in the middle. We're going to close this up because I really want to get into the next one, because if I don't, we're going to bleed into it anyway. But we are definitely grateful that, well, number one, I'm grateful that Brandon is not only just going through the stirring, but that stirring led him to us, honestly. Brandon is a partner with us here, and I'm grateful for him and what he does. And I loved that he is, and I think it's super interesting and fun that he said that, you know, he was in a small group and he went from being the guy that, was stunted, you know, and quiet in his small group to all of a sudden he's now the annoying one, you know, he's the investigator. And I love that. Because to me, I always felt like that's just a sign to show that you're alive, you know. Mm-hmm. You're interested, you're engaged with God, and you're engaged mm-hmm. so much that you're willing to like read more and pray more and learn how to do those things. So we're grateful for Brandon. Again, if you've gotten to this and you haven't listened to the interview, you need to go back. Let me finish this episode out before we go and record the other one here in a second. But hey, you know, we're doing this for any of you out there that are watching this or listening to this and you're thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds exactly like me. This is a great spot to be in, stirring, but it can be a little tough to navigate. For some of us, you navigate it for years. We are here to help you walk through it and to help lead you through it. If you're willing to do that, we'd love to hear, honestly, we'd love to hear your stirring story and how that's going for you. So you can do a couple different things. If you want, you can comment. If you're watching this on YouTube, comment, shoot. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to just go to our website, which is reologylife.com, you can send us a message there, or you can follow us on Instagram, which is reology_life. Send us a message. We'd love to hear from you and hear your stirring story and maybe even help you navigate the waters. So until next time, we'll see you later.
From the whole Reology team, we hope these podcasts are encouraging and educational. Reology exists for three main reasons: to reach, train, and equip those who want to go deeper with God in this partnership called Ecclesia. If God has been stirring in your heart, where you are wondering if there's more than what you've been experiencing in today's 21st century Christianity, we'd love to connect with you, to hear your story and help you know that you are not alone. You can simply contact us via the website, reologylife.com, or reach out via Instagram at reology_life. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.